Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Luke chapter 24, I just want to start reading a scripture this morning, and I'm only going to speak for a few minutes. But Luke 24 and verse 1 reads like this. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices that they had prepared. Just hold it there. You might say, who are they? They are the ones that when Jesus was taken off the cross, they saw him wrapped in a linen garment and they saw him being laid in the tomb and they saw the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. And because it was Passover, they had to leave his body there. They're going to come back 3 days later and prepare his body properly for burial. So this is what happened on the first day of the week. Verse 2. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And we today shout, hallelujah. But it wasn't for them. It was, what happened to him? And I don't want to be disrespectful. It'd be just like you going to a funeral. Going back a few days later and the body's gone. So what is going on? You can just imagine, not what is going on, but what are they done with them? Verse 3. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. Oh gosh. The stone's not only rolled away, but we can't find him. Then it goes on, verse 4, and it says, and it happened that they were greatly perplexed. What an understatement. What the heck's going on here? We put him there. Now he's gone. But in the midst of perplexity, listen, in the midst of perplexity, and I want to tell you today that no matter what you're going through, that in the midst, there's an opportunity for God to turn up. An opportunity for God to turn up. It says that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And we might say, "Woo, that would be exciting." I tell you what, me going to a graveyard, finding the body not there, then two people shining, I'd be gone. I'd be gone. It all reads good, but if you put yourself in the story, you just think, oh my golly gosh. And then it goes on further. And it happened then, verse 5. Then as they were afraid, because every time there's an angelic visitation, there's usually fear attached to it. And many times when angels do appear, they say, fear not. Well, I wasn't fearful until you turned up. But they come with a divine message. And they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. And they said, this is what they said, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Maybe today, you've been trying to find something living amongst things that are dead. Dead religion, dead relationships, death. It's not life-giving. There's got to be something that brings to life. And they said, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, but he is. Oh man, we can shout hallelujah today. You could just imagine what they were thinking. The stone's rolled away, he's not here, and then some guy in some uniform that's shining says, he's risen. We say hallelujah, they say, oh my gosh. He is not here, he is risen. And then they say, remember how he spoke to you while he's still in Galilee? Isn't it amazing? We can know everything that's going to happen, but when you get under pressure and something does happen, you forget what the outcome was supposed to be. This is what happened to these people. They were so perplexed by the dramas that transpired over the last few days that they forgot that Jesus said that he would rise again. Verse 7, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, that's the word, verse 8, and they remembered all his words. Good news today. Jesus was risen from the dead. Or let me put it this way, Jesus was raised from the dead. I don't know how it happened, but the power of God exploded in that cemetery or in that tomb, reconnecting Jesus' spirit to his dead body, which flooded the corpse with life. He arose with such power that the earth shook, it says in the book of Mark. The angels rolled away the stone from the door and Jesus walked out alive. Oh, what a beautiful name. The name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just find it interesting that, you know, he said on a few occasions, like, let's look at, say, Matthew 16. Just another one just backs up what I just said. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and rise again on the third day. In Matthew, he says it four times to his disciples, that he would go, that he would be crucified, and that 3 days later, he would rise again from the dead. I think it's a great risk a person can take in predicting their own future. You can't try and predict your future like some people say, I'm going to live to 120. Man, wouldn't we all like to live to 120? No? Okay. Let me just get an idea of the feel of the room. Who'd like to live to 120? Let me ask you this question. Who would like to start living now? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay, yeah. So, you know, so we all kind of know that one day we're going to die, but, you know, and we want to go to heaven, but that gap thing, you know, the gap thing between dying and going to heaven, we're a bit afraid of it. And we kind of wish that we could all live forever, but here is Jesus. He takes this personal risk of predicting his future. But he said it would happen. I don't know if you remember, but yeah, I know Paul, I mentioned the name. Pauline Hanson got elected to Parliament probably about 15, 16, 17 years ago, got hoisted out, and now she's back. But when she was in before, she was on national television and they somehow got hold of a video that she had done in case she got assassinated. And she kind of said this, if you see this video, I've been assassinated. So she kind of tried to predict what may happen, but it didn't happen. But you go back to Jesus, he predicted that he would die, that the scriptures would be fulfilled, and that he would rise again. And I just believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ sets apart Christianity from every other religion. And I really don't even like using the word religion, because religion is man's mere search for God. I don't see myself as religious. I see myself as a Christian that's, you know, out walking a relationship with the Almighty God. See, it sets believers apart from other religions. You can go to the grave of Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, even Joseph Smith. You can even go to the tomb of King David, one of the greatest leaders in Israel, and you can go to his tomb and his bones are there. You can go to the tomb of Abraham, and you can even go to St. Peter, the apostle, and see where his grave is. And there's bones there, and there's relics of a life that was. But the good news today is that we don't worship a grave of bones. Not only is the tomb empty, but Jesus is alive. That's pretty cool, eh? That's pretty cool. Now, millions of people today all around the world are celebrating Easter, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the most celebrated event in history. And it's more than just a nice idea. It's a historic fact. And as I did in my introduction, it is not only a historic fact, it's an eternal fact. And it's a fact today that I know what it's like not to live without God. And I know what it's like to live with God. And it's like black and white. It's like light and darkness of knowing God within your life. You know, Thomas said, Nate Thomas, if you just Thomas said to the disciples, "If I'll believe when I can put my hands in his, my fingers in his hands and my hand in his side and disprove it was." And that encounter happens. But then Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." Blessed are those that have not seen yet believe. And you might say, "John, are you deceiving yourself?" Well, millions of people around the world must be deceived. And I'm not an easy pushover. But I'll tell you what, I've found Jesus Christ. And I know his power and his goodness. I know what it's like to go through hell and death the other side, and Jesus Christ is still there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's good in the good times, the bad times. He'll go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. In that time, you fear no evil because he's with you. He's always with you. Amen? So if, this is a good scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Great scripture. It says this. This is the Apostle Paul. And he was a man of reason as well. And he says, "If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty." So if Jesus died, that's cool. But if he didn't rise from the dead, our preaching still would be empty and our belief would be empty. We'd still have that sense of emptiness on the inside. Verse 15. "Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise." Verse 16. "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen." Verse 17. "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." You see very plainly there that if Christ has not risen from the dead, we've got nothing to declare. You have nothing to believe. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is a delusion and we're still lost in our sin. In the New Testament, there's 100 references to the resurrection of Christ. It says in the Bible that after he rose from the dead, he was seen by 500 people after he rose from the dead. Historically recorded. You see, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, all the martyrs that have lost their faith over the years, waste of time. And I don't know if you realize it, but there's still people being martyred today. In countries where there's no protection like there is here with, you know, the onslaughts, the enemy can't come against us, but we know we're protected. But in other nations, people have been martyred week by week, day by day. People have been, you know, killed for their faith in Christ. If all of this is a delusion, it's a waste of time for them. All the money that was spent on missionaries, all the money spent on evangelism, anything that's called Christian, it's been a waste of time if Christ is not risen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." Good news today, he is alive. Let's pause. Can I ask you a question? In the light of that, what does the life of God look like in your life? Has it made a difference? You may sound still on the journey. But let that question just resonate within your heart for a little while. That if Christ is raised from the dead and he died for my sins and he raised again, what difference does it make in my life? I believe it should make a little bit of a sense of well-being, that all is okay with my soul. Your desires begin to change from where it's all about you to about others. Your whole kind of personality begins to shift and there's a reflection more of the Christ life within you. I thank God that Jesus rose from the dead.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.